on Annenberg Radio News.
It will be another huge step toward revitalization, not only of this corner that has been vacant so very, very long, but the entire Crenshaw corridor.
The first shovel finally broke ground today on the long-awaited West Angeles Plaza in Crenshaw. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, February 10th, 2011. I'm Megan Dickey. Egypt's president refused to step down in a nationally televised speech today. For the past 17 days, anti-government protesters have been calling for his resignation, and an international audience expected it to come any day. Smitha Bonad reports on how Mubarak again crushed hopes for democracy in Egypt.
Egypt's president Hosni Mubarak shocked anti-government protesters today after he announced his plans to remain in office until September. It was rumored that the president would step down in his address today. His defiant speech instead sent an uproar at Tahrir Square, where thousands gathered chanting, "Get out, get out." Mubarak made only minor concessions to those demanding democracy. The ruler of 30 years said he would hand over responsibilities to Vice President Omar Suleiman. Americans were also upset about the 82-year-old president's decision to stay in power. Lori Brand is the director of the School of International Relations at USC. She thinks Mubarak's decision will prolong the country's economic downfall. The new vice president urged demonstrators to go back to their jobs, but many continued their fight for democracy on the streets. Smitha Bandade, Annenberg Radio News.
Governor Jerry Brown made his first public appearance in Los Angeles since being sworn in. Whitney Blaine was at the Bob Hope Airport when he discussed his budget plan for the state.
Jerry Brown headed to L.A. to urge the public, including college students, to put tax extensions on a special ballot in June.
If we don't get the tax extensions, that will impact, possibly could raise tuition.
Before leaving office, former Governor Schwarzenegger wanted to privatize 24 state government buildings to reduce California's $25 billion budget deficit. But Brown announced Wednesday that he felt the plan didn't make sense, so he dropped it. Instead, he is asking for public support to install temporary tax hikes and spending cuts. Min Koo is a USC student who thinks the budget issue has gone on too long without answers.
They've been having that budget problem for a while, so we got to do something. I mean, if you're trying to extend the tax in order to get it done, I think it's a good idea.
Brown is speaking to business leaders at the Chamber of Commerce in downtown tonight. He's hoping to work with Republicans in the state legislature to approve his plan. But he told me students should be just as concerned.
If there's a lot of money that goes to scholarships and high school education and things like that, and those are in jeopardy.
But another USC student, Lauren LoCascio, isn't confident Brown's proposed tax hikes will be the answer.
As a student, I kind of feel like it's one of those I'll believe it when I see it kind of things. And I'm like, that's great. You can say whatever you want because you're a politician.
Brown needs a 2/3 vote for the tax increase to be placed on the ballot and is yet to publicly receive any Republican support. Whitney Blaine, Annenberg Radio News.
Governor Brown's proposal to trim funding for people with disabilities brought protesters out in Van Nuys today. The governor wants to trim $750 million in funding from the Department of Developmental Services. That's a move protesters say will take away needed resources from the most vulnerable. Beverlyn Mendez of Easter Seal says these cuts will force people into institutions. She says it costs more than $300,000 per person a year to keep people in institutions and that the government should protect services for people to continue living in their communities. Bell City Clerk Rebecca Valdez continued her testimony today in the corruption case of Bell City Council members. Valdez previously told prosecutors that she didn't see any work produced from four different committees. But on cross-examination by defense attorney, she said they could have discussed city business outside of scheduled council meetings. She suggested they may have done some work to earn the money they were being paid for on those committees. Six council members and two other city officials are accused of pocketing thousands of dollars for work they never did. It's been almost 2 years since high school senior Danny Farber Jr. was shot and killed in Compton, in a Compton fast food restaurant. His family has waited almost 2 years for the trial of the accused shooter. Caitlin Parker talks to us from Compton.
Jury deliberations continue today at the Compton courthouse in the trial of Arlen Watson. Watson is charged with one count of murder in the fatal 2009 shooting of high school student Danny Farber Jr. at a fast food restaurant in Compton. Closing arguments were last week, and I spoke to prosecutor Joe Porras. He's described this jury as kind of high maintenance. The first day after discussion, they came forward and said that they were deadlocked, unable to make a decision. Since then, some of the members have been sick. The judge has sent them home early some days. They've requested a lot of read-throughs of transcripts from testimonies. And the way they presented themselves, Porras has a feeling that the jury is relatively split, that it's not just one person holding out. The judge in this case, Judge Eleanor Hunter, is saying that today she would either really like a verdict or a hung jury will be called, in which case the whole trial will be run all over again. Reporting for Annenberg Radio News, this is Caitlin Parker.
February marked the first National Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month. Reporter Stephanie Frischberg was at Roosevelt High School in East LA this morning, where Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa spoke to students about abuse in relationships.
Students filed into the school auditorium for an assembly with a special guest.
I'd like to introduce our mayor, Mayor Villaraigosa.
Mayor Villaraigosa returned to his former high school to support Teen Violence Awareness Month. This issue, he says, hits close to home.
You know, I grew up in a home with an alcoholic father who used to come home drunk, beat my mom, terrorize his kids. I was 4 or 5 years old.
The Teen Dating Violence Awareness and Prevention Initiative was started by teens across the country who wanted to take a stand against dating violence. They chose February, the Valentine month, to remind teens to act with love instead of violence.
46% of girls and 43% of boys said they've had issues with violence in the relationship. That's way too many.
The mayor was joined by representatives from the Peace Over Violence and Break the Cycle organizations to raise awareness. They say dating abuse includes everything from manipulating and controlling a partner to cyberbullying. Jasmine Sehoff from Break the Cycle says dating abuse can happen to anyone.
1 in 3 teens will experience abuse sometime in their dating relationship. This is 1 in 3 of your friends, 1 in 3 of your family members, 1 in 3 people that you just know.
Seha encouraged every student in the auditorium to do something this month to prevent abuse.
Talking about it, knowing what is abuse is one way. You can also do posters, you know, make your own PSA, just do several activities to raise awareness.
The Senate passed a resolution last month to designate February as National Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month. The resolution for Los Angeles is expected to pass this Friday. Stephanie Frischberg, Annenberg Radio News.
Tonight, it's going to be clear with lows in the 40s. But tomorrow, thank goodness it'll be Friday. It's going to be a sunny day with highs in the mid to upper 70s. And come Friday night, the clear skies will make it great for stargazing. But put on a coat because it might get a bit cold with lows in the 40s. And get ready to start your weekend off right with clear skies and the sun shining bright. Later on Annenberg Radio News, we'll hear what's behind LA's foreclosure crisis. A charter school in East LA had some surprising visitors today. 2 Harlem Globetrotters. The basketball players twirled balls, shot hoops, and coached students about staying healthy. Emily Frost watched in awe.
The schoolyard of Para Los Niños Charter School in East LA transformed into a stage for 2 very bubbly, very tall Harlem Globetrotters. Special K and The Shot were there to show off their basketball tricks, but also to spread the gospel of healthy living to a crowd of low-income, mostly Latino students. I went to cover the show, but I had some competition.
I'm wearing a press pass. It's so they could know that we're in the newspaper team.
The 3rd and 4th graders sitting atop bleachers in the noonday sun could hardly contain their excitement when the players' coaching session was over and the real show began. Mm-hmm. Health is a major priority at the school. Nearly all of the students qualify for free or reduced lunches. They're catered by Unified Nutrimeals. Principal Judy Perlmutter says the lunches are
low sodium, no high fructose corn syrup, fresh fruit and vegetables every day.
Still, it's a hard battle with a McDonald's literally next door to the school. Students' parents work in factories near the school. Some are living in temporary hotels downtown or shuttle from very far away. They're working class families. And so complete chaos broke out when each student was given two tickets to a Globetrotters show. Kids leapt from the bleachers and started swarming and tackling the two Globetrotters with such sheer excitement that they knocked one of them to the ground. The coolest trick of the day?
He passed the basketball onto her finger. It was so crazy.
Crazy indeed. Emily Frost, Annenberg Radio News.
After 13 long years of planning and dreaming, the West Angeles Community Development Corporation broke ground today on a new retail plaza in the Crenshaw Corridor. Dave Duhlberg was at the ceremony where several city officials, corporate sponsors, and community members were on hand.
For several decades, people in the Crenshaw Corridor have been waiting for commercial development to re-energize their community. Bishop Charles Blake of the West Angeles Church of God had a vision of a new plaza which would one day answer their hopes. Today, his vision was finally realized.
It's an entity that could translate the neighborhood's desire for safe, attractive venues that offer high quality goods and services, bringing that dream into reality.
Blake says the West Angeles Plaza's groundbreaking ceremony is just one small step.
Once the plaza is completed, it will be another huge step toward revitalization, not only of this corner that has been vacant so very, very long, but the entire Crenshaw Corridor.
The West Angeles Community Development Corporation envisions the plaza to be a 45,000 square foot building that will hold half retail and half office space. They have already agreed to partnerships with Union Bank and Fresh and Easy Grocery Store. Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa believes it's a smart move for the community.
You know, this isn't about redevelopment, it's about smart development. It's about reclaiming a great corridor, a great part of the city of Los Angeles, a great community. This is a smart development, one that will create jobs, one that is accessible to public transit, one that will help to revitalize the Crenshaw Corridor in South Los Angeles.
Councilman Herb Wesson says the city will also break ground on a transit line in the next few months. The line would go all the way from the West Angeles Plaza to LAX.
This is just the beginning. It is not the end.
Between the construction of the plaza and the transit line, Wesson says 1,600 new jobs will be created in the community. For Annenberg Radio News, I'm Dave Dolberg.
Nearly 60% of homeowners are facing foreclosures in Los Angeles. A Neon Tommy and Spot Us investigation found that South LA is home to two of the 10 zip codes with the most foreclosures in the county. I spoke with Olga Hassan from Neon Tommy to see what's at the heart of the foreclosure crisis in Los Angeles.
Well, the crisis is sort of that a lot of people who thought they were going to be able to afford their homes are actually not. But one of the other things that we're seeing is that a lot of people took out cash out refinance loans. And so these loans actually grow in their interest rate and people aren't able to keep up with the payments. And that's where they start falling behind.
And so why were people getting these cash out refinancing loans?
In South LA, a lot of people had fixed incomes, so they had emergency expenses. Maybe their houses were a little bit older, their kids needed to go to college, things like that. And a popular thing to do a few years ago was to do these refinancing options, which could either, you know, lower your payment, but in some cases you could actually use the equity in your home to take out some money.
And so what happened to them in the heat of the foreclosure crisis?
For example, the main character in the story, Kim Marie, took a cash out refinance loan. It did have an adjustable rate, so her interest payments were growing. And eventually it inflated the price of her payment, I think almost double. And so she couldn't really make that payment anymore. And the unfortunate thing is that there is a program in California called Keep Your Home California, which aims to help people who have limited incomes and are underwater in their mortgage. But unfortunately, people like her aren't eligible for it because they took this cash out refinance loan. And I just talked with the people who run the program yesterday, and unfortunately, that's not something that they are offering to people who did that, which is really putting a sticky situation for a lot of people in South LA.
And so why won't they offer this to the people who took the cash out refinancing loans?
I mean, it's anyone's guess, really, but it could just be that, you know, you can't catch everyone with modifications. It really is for people who have a true hardship. So they have to have done basically nothing wrong to kind of end up in their situation, and they have to show true hardship. And it honestly, the rules kind of are a little bit obscure. That's why they sound obscure when I describe
them.
Yeah,
I mean, how do you go about proving real hardship? And
people write letters. They have to send statements of their income, unemployment checks.
So it's quite a long process.
Months and years. It takes months and years. And that's kind of the problem, is that people are really, I mean, it's a lot of pressure to live under for months and years if you feel like you're about to lose your home. Unfortunately, that's the only option for a lot of people.
That was Olga Hassan from Neon Tommy. Valentine's Day is just around the corner. Reporter Ashley Williams spoke to people about their plans.
I think the cutest Valentine's Day you could probably have is when a guy does something that a girl's never done before.
He thought enough to send me gifts, and then we're going to have a Skype date, and the fact that I don't get off of work until 8:30 and they're 3 hours ahead of me, and he has an 8 a.m. class, the fact that he's going to stay up, and so we can like have our little Skype thing, it's going to be awesome. I think that's really cute.
I don't think Valentine's Day is special, because I think people should be loving each other every day of the year instead of just one day of the year.
Rose petals. Bubble bath, champagne, cooked dinner, all in one night.
If I'm gonna be honest, I really haven't had Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day is like a guy's day. I go out and do what I kind of want to do. I haven't really had a girlfriend for Valentine's Day. So.
Me and my girlfriend were dating a pair of friends, and the guy that my girlfriend was talking to, he said that they both had this plan to take us out to the House of Blues for Valentine's Day. So I was excited and got my dress together and I was ready, and then I found out that it was all a lie and he just made it up.
It's that time of year again when MTVU honors the best college radio station with its Woody Award. The top 10 nominees will be revealed on Tuesday, February 15th, so there's still time to vote. The sixth annual award show will air live for the first time on Wednesday, March 16th at 9 p.m. The broadcast can be heard on MTV, MTV2, and MTVU. MTV produces a 24-hour television channel that is available on college and university campuses across the country. Now we check in with Marie Aniello to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6.
Coming up on Annenberg TV News, we spoke to a USC student studying abroad in Egypt. Hear what the protests have had, the effects the protests have had on him. Also, Verizon has now offered the iPhone 4 to all of its customers. We spoke to some really excited consumers. And the CPAC conference brings together conservatives in Washington, D.C. Hear what they had to say about the next presidential candidate.
And that's it for this Thursday. We had help today from Laurel Galanter, Stephanie Guzman, and Carl Nickenig. Christine Trang is our producer. The executive producer is Jessica Flores. For all of us at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Megan Dickey.